If you're heading to your class, you can, kiddos. we are so thankful for you all. Happy New Year! We are glad that we get to gather this morning, no matter what weather might come in our way. We're glad to be here in the moment. Those of you who are guests, we are so thankful for you. Thank you for coming and joining us. And we would love to get to know you better in the days ahead. If there's anything that we as a church family can do for you, we have some information in the back about our church just a little gift for you to say thank you. But more than that, we just would love to connect with you and see how we can help you and your personal and your family, your walk with Jesus. That's why we are here as a church. And so thank you for coming. Our prayer is that you'd be blessed and encouraged as we walk through the Word together. If you got your Bible, why don't you go ahead and start turning to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. That's where we're going to kind of start as we head to where we want to talk about today. Where we want to head today is this time every year we focus on Vision 2025. Like, what is it that God is calling us to? Who is he calling us to be as a church family? What is it that he has in store for us for this next year? And so this time every year, we come together, we want to spend some time celebrating what God has done, and then ultimately looking to, all right, where is it that God is leading us? What is he calling us to do? Who is he calling us to be as a church? And I know that for me, this time of year, New Year's, is a time for me to sort of recalibrate my mind and my heart, and I try to make some different goals in my life. You know, what some of them are physical, some of them are spiritual. Okay, what are some things in my life that might need to change this year? I was listening to an interview recently, and there was a question that was asked. He said, "If Jesus lived your life for 30 days, at the end of that 30 days, what would he have changed? If Jesus lived your life for 30 days, what would be some things that he would change?" And the response was, everything. He would probably change everything. But then his next question was, okay, if Jesus would change everything, then why won't you just change one thing? So as I think about that in my own life, my own heart, like there's so many things that I want to be. Like, and I think about the life and the example of Jesus, and I want to be like him. And so, like, if there's some things that are in my life that he would do and he would change, then what is preventing me from making these changes through the power of the Holy Spirit to be all that he has called me to be, to serve like him, to love like him, to care, to see people the way that he does? And so when I think about that question, you know, what are some things that I would want to change, is I would want that heart. The heart and the compassion that flowed from the heart of Jesus, I want to flow from my heart. I want to view people the way that he did. When I'm driving around, when I'm seeing, when I'm doing, just going about my normal day, I want to do that in a way that I can see people the way that Jesus did. So when we look at the Gospels, for example, and we watch like the pattern of the life of Jesus, it's absolutely incredible the way that he loved and cared and saw people much differently than most other people did. Particularly when you look at the Gospel of Luke, Luke emphasizes a lot of the outcasts of society, those that were just unlovable, unwanted, those that were the worst, quote, the worst of the worst. And Luke highlights how Jesus met each of those people right where they were. And what I'm super excited about is right after Easter, we're going to do a series called Outcasts, where we just walk through those different stories of people that Jesus went after. This morning, though, we're going to look at a passage. We're not going to do a deep dive this morning into that, because we're going to use it as a way just to sort of be a launch pad for our discussion on where God is leading us as a church. What is it that he's calling us to? Who is he calling us to be? But as we get started, I want us to look at Luke chapter 19. So go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word. If you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back. We'd be happy to give you one. If you don't have one, we'd love just to give you one. Because as you start this new year, we want to be people of the Word, people that spend time in God's Word. So if you don't have one, we'd love to give it to you so you could spend time with your in your own Bible, day by day in the Word. It's not just about coming to church once a week and hearing something, though that's important. It's about pressing in to your personal walk, relationship with Jesus day by day, moment by moment. And we as a church family want to come alongside and help you along the way. But we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. So let's jump into Luke 19, and let's you just follow along as we read this incredible story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking, hang on to that word, we'll talk about it in a minute. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of all of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Well, God, I ask that as we walk through this passage and as we talk about who you've called us to be as followers of Jesus, Lord, that you would speak through your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would change us, not just today, but every day and all throughout the year, to be conformed more and more to be like you. So, Lord, bless the next few moments that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, if you grew up in church at all, most likely you're familiar with this man, Zacchaeus. But a lot of times when you think about Zacchaeus, if you would have asked me, "All right, Jared, so who's Zacchaeus?" I would have been like, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Yeah, remember that? And a wee little man was, he climbed up in the, for the Lord, he wanted to. Oh, this is unbelievable. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the, and he said, "For I'm going to your house today." Okay, now we're just going to start singing. That's really funny. I tried that with my kids, and they were like, "I don't know what you're talking about." So, different. And if you didn't grow up in the church, you think, this is nuts. What in the world are y'all even talking about right now? But when we look at the story of Zacchaeus, there's much more to it than just a man who's short. Although, if you would have asked me growing up, I probably would have just pointed to that. Yeah, he was a wee little man that liked to climb trees, and that's fun. But there's a lot more to this, and I'm excited. We're going to do a deeper dive when we actually do our series. But I want to kind of use this as a model and example of the life and the mission of Jesus, so that as we think about our life and mission as Christians, that we can model that after the one that we follow. And so that's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. So we're looking at this man named Zacchaeus. So Jesus is coming into town. Now, a lot of people would have heard about him already. Zacchaeus obviously has. And so he shows up. Now, Zacchaeus, it says that he was a chief tax collector and was rich. Now, here's what's crazy is that he was rich at the expense of other people, right? So tax collectors of that day were probably if not the most hated people in their society. Well, because for several reasons. He had a lot of points against him. One, he was a traitor because he was working for Rome, who was, you know, posing taxes. And so they would use, you know, these Jewish men to serve as tax collectors, to collect the tax for Rome. And then on top of that, they were often dishonest. They were often thieves. They would often charge above and beyond for themselves. And so they were traitors. They were enemies of the Jewish people. They were thieves, and they were dishonest, and they were extortioners, and all of those things. And so they were probably the most hated people. Well, not only that, is he a tax collector. It says he's a chief tax collector, which means he was probably in charge of the other tax collectors of Jericho. So all the other tax collectors that are, you know, he's imposing these things, and he's probably even encouraging, hey, you get as much as you can. Yeah, that doesn't. So they preyed on the lives of other families for the sake of their own gain. Right? That does not set them up to have many friends. Does not set them up to be liked and welcomed very well in the society, in the community. So most likely then, when a tax collector would walk by, they would be shunned completely, and they wanted nothing to do with this people. So Jesus then goes and approaches this one, the one who was the outcast, the one who nobody else would have loved. What's crazy is that, like, so tax collectors had their own, like, they were their own category of sinner. So, like, when the Pharisees would talk about sinners, they would talk about, you know, the prostitutes and the blasphemers and those dirty tax collectors. Like, they got wrapped up in their own category of sinner, of despisable person. Nobody liked them. In fact, Jesus even used them as an example when he gave his illustration. The illustration of the tax collector and the Pharisee tax collector who went to the temple to pray, he used the Pharisee as one who they thought was like the best of the best, and then the tax collector who was like just the worst of the worst. Like they are the trash, the garbage. Nobody wants them around. And yet Jesus used them as the very example of the ones that he came to seek and to save. So Jesus comes into town. Now, by this time in Jesus' ministry, people knew who he was. Like, he had a reputation that preceded him. So he was the healer. He was the one who worked miracles. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead not far away from Jericho. So they're like, okay, Jesus is coming to town. So it's like LeBron James walking through Christiansburg, right? We're going to show up just to see, like, this is crazy. And so people are wanting to come. They're wanting to see who this Jesus guy is, what he's all about, what might he do next. Zacchaeus obviously knows who he is, and so he wants to see him as well. The problem is, of course, that Zacchaeus is short, and so he can't see because of the great crowd, so then he decides to climb a tree so he could get a glimpse so that he can look. But here's what's incredible. The word that he uses here, that he was seeking to see Jesus. Well, in the very next part of this passage in verse 10, it says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Here's what's incredible, is that while Zacchaeus thought that he was looking for Jesus, Jesus was already seeking and looking for him. Jesus was already going after him, and he already had a plan of what he was going to do in his life. What happens next in this story is incredible. Jesus meets this man. It says that when he passed that way to where he was, he stopped. Meaning what? Jesus' mission was very clear. He was coming through that moment for that man. Like, there's so many times in scriptures where it shows us that Jesus went to places just for one person. Like, isn't that incredible? Like, he would go to places just so he could have an encounter with one person. That was the mission in the heart of Jesus. And so Jesus goes and he meets this man, Zacchaeus, right there at the tree. And so it says that he finds him and then he calls him. He knows his name. Now, I don't know what that did to Zacchaeus, right? If that was him, and all of a sudden, you know, this healer, this miracle worker, not only is he here in front of me, but he's calling me by name. He knows who I am. So he calls Zacchaeus, but then what's incredible, what happens next is that he goes to his house and he changes this man's life forever. So he seeks him, he finds him, he calls him, and he changes him. Because that's the mission of Jesus. That's why he came. He said the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. If you wanted to say, like, what would be a mission statement of Jesus? You know, when you have an organization or a business, you would think, what's our mission? What are we about? What are we going after? What are we shooting for? What are we aiming at? If you want to look at some passages that would serve as sort of the mission statement of Jesus, this is one of them, Luke 19:10, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. John 10:10 is another one. Jesus said, I came that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. 1 Timothy 1:5, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am the foremost. Right? So if you want to look at, sort of encapsulate, what is the mission of Jesus, well, that's it. He was very, very clear in what he came for, what he was called to do. And when you track that through the life of Jesus that we have in the Gospels, like he's always, and you always find him in the places that no one else expected. You always find him going after the people that nobody else desires to. He's always going after the outcast, and that became a part of his reputation. And so if you look back in Luke chapter 7 for a minute, in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You know, when they said those things, they meant that as an insult. Right? They were like, look at this guy. He's a friend of sinners. But Jesus would have been, yeah, that's it. That's why I came. Yes, I am a friend of sinners. Yes, I do go with them. Yes, I do go and die in their house. Yes, I do draw them to myself, because that's the reason why I came. That shows the heart of Christ, going for the outcast, the unloved, the undesirable, the marginalized in society. So they meant it as an insult, but it actually just reflects the heart of Jesus. Now, what's incredible about that is that if you look in Acts, remember when we studied through the book of Acts together, we saw when the disciples were first called Christians, right? And that was also an insult. They were trying to make fun of these little Christ, like, oh, look at you, you little Christ. And what'd they do? They embraced it. They're like, actually, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, because we want to be like Jesus. We want to love and serve and sacrifice and give and help just like Jesus did. And so, yeah, call me a Christian. Call me a little Christ, because that's what I want to be. I want to be and look and act and serve and love like Jesus. And so they meant these things as insults, but ultimately it's something that we come to embrace. We see that also in Luke chapter 5, in Luke 5, beginning in verse 27. So this is Jesus calling Matthew, and he says, after this he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. Leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. Not a place that people would want to have been in that house. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now this is important. Don't miss this. So Jesus was always meeting people right where they are, right? He met them right where they are, but he did not say it was okay for them to stay where they are. So he said, yes, I'm going to meet you where you are, but you're not okay the way you are. Now, there's a big difference between the world today that wants to say, hey, listen, you're all good, you're fine, you're fine just the way that you are. And Jesus says, no, you're not. But that's okay, because that's why I came. Right, I came not just to, you know, minister to a bunch of good, okay people. No, there's a bunch of spiritually dead people on our way to hell unless Jesus Christ comes and does something for us. And so when we celebrate the gospel, we're celebrating the coming of the one who could deal with our sin once and for all. But our world wants to pretend like it doesn't exist. But Christ came that we might have life. But he says that he comes preaching repentance, meaning, yes, I'm going to meet you where you are, but you're not okay the way you are. because I want you to be like me. And so then he begins this work of people being changed by the gospel. We have to be changed. So when we talk about our mission at Hope Valley Church, right, we talk about this often. The mission that we feel that God has given us is to see every single person changed by the gospel, trained up in the gospel, and then sent out with the gospel. Like that is what we feel like God has called us to as a church family to be about, to press into, to pursue, and everything that we do, we desire to see that happen. A relationship with Jesus begins by being changed by him. There's a change that has to happen. We have to be born again. And so we desire to see that happen not only here at Hope Valley, but throughout our community, to see lives transformed by the gospel. And so that's why it's the first part of our mission statement. But also, it's not a one-time event either, right? So once we have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are also continually being changed. And that is a process that God works in us. And so we want to be continually being disciples that are continually being changed by him, becoming more and more like Jesus. Well, and that leads into then what it means to be trained in the gospel. We use that terminology because when the Bible says, it refers to disciples, or a disciple is a learner who attached themselves to a master and said, okay, I want to be like, I want to act like, I want to learn from and become like this person. And so the disciples attached their lives to Jesus, and they watched him, and they walked with him, and they ate with him, and they learned from him. So for us today, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, quite literally. We attach ourselves to him so that we can watch him, become like him, know him, learn from him, and serve and love like Jesus. So we want to be continually trained up in the gospel. So when we talk about discipleship here at Hope Valley Church, that's our desire for every single person, that we're continually growing more and more to be like him. And so what that looks like, that for me, it's not just enough for me to be a Christian in my own private little world, but like, what does it look like to be a Christian at home and be a Christian where I work, and to be a Christian with my neighbors and with my family members, and to model Christ's love everywhere? And so all that happens in the context of growing in relationship to God, and we get to also do that in relationship with one another. So God has given us the church as a gift to grow in our walk with Jesus together. So we have these things called Hope Community Groups. And that's why we push them all the time. Connect in a group, connect in a small group, connect in a Hope Community, because you get to share life with one another. You get to share the ups and downs of your week, the burdens and the heartaches and the joys and the celebrations. And it gets to happen together with other families that are also wanting to grow and become more like Jesus. And so that's why we talk about the importance of those kinds of environments. We have discipleship groups that we've had groups that meet with two or three or four people, and we've had groups that meet with, like, for a men's Bible study or a men's book study, or the Grace and Grit that just got started for the ladies, and other opportunities where there's ways to get plugged in to grow deeper and to grow more connected with one another. We're talking about a new class coming up, and like sort of a conversational apologetics class on how to share the gospel with people, to answer hard questions of the faith that we're most likely going to be starting here pretty soon. And so there's ways to get plugged in. You just have to take that initiative to say, yes, I do want to be like Jesus. I want to be trained up to become more and more like him. And then our third part of our mission statement, to be sent out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church was never designed or intended to be a people that gathered in a nice building. Like, that was never the intention. It was always to be a church that does gather so that we can then scatter, so that we can be sent out to make a difference in the world, to shine the light of Jesus, to communicate the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are called to be sent out in this world. Oftentimes we see this church groups as like these little, like, holy huddles where it all exists for right here. But if you take the analogy of like a football team, it's like, no, that you do huddle, But then at some point, you got to break. You got to go out and you got to actually do what you were planning to do in the huddle. And so that's a really neat picture of sort of like the church, what we're called to be. So this is an awesome time to gather and to huddle and to pray and to encourage and to spur on and say, all right, now let's go. Let's go out and let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's be who God has called us to be. And what I love seeing testimonies of God's people being the church in the world. Like not just Hope Valley, but churches in general, just that are going out and answering the call. Like when Hurricane Helene hit this past fall, and the devastation that happens and even continues now, the response of churches was absolutely incredible. I mean, people showed up by the thousands to help and to give aid. And yes, we were a part of that, but it wasn't just us. I mean, there's so many other places and churches that were involved in helping and are continuing to. Church groups that are still going and being involved in helping and being a help to those who were devastated by that. And so we can look at the news headlines and we can be like, oh man, that's terrible. Yeah, that's, or we can say, that's what we're supposed to be about. Like, so let's go. Let's look at that and say, that's why God has us here. Let's go meet those needs. Let's go help. Let's go enter those hard spaces with the love of Jesus. You guys remember, I'm sure you watched it this week or saw the news headlines. So last Sunday, the plane crashed in South Korea. Did you guys see the news article for that? So last Sunday, a plane carrying 181 people crash-landed in South Korea, right where I was just a few weeks back, crash-landed and killed 179 people on board. There was only two survivors. What's crazy, though, is I can't begin to imagine what those families are going through right now in this moment, as they're still literally picking up pieces of the wreckage. They're still trying to identify bodies. It's horrendous. But what was incredible is I was watching the news. I was struck by something that was really, really neat. So when the crash happened, less than 24 hours later, church groups began showing up to the airport to begin to see how can we help? What can we do? And here's a quick blip of that news article.
See all around us, this would normally be the departures hall for Muan International Airport, but instead of families who would be gathered here getting ready to go on vacations to celebrate the new year, instead, it's replaced with this. Scores of families huddled together, waiting for the latest information on when their family members could be positively identified by DNA. Now, so many people have chosen to stay. They're not going anywhere, and that's seen evidenced by all of these tents that go from here pretty much to the end of the terminal. They go back. This is where families are starting to live, beginning overnight, and you see food deliveries throughout the day and the echoes of grief. People are choosing to stay here because this is where information comes first. So as we keep going, this would be the entrance to the terminal, and you see kindness on full display. To my left, church groups serving coffee, fruit, snacks, any kind of drinks for everybody who's deciding to congregate here. It is inspiring. It is quite moving. And there are so many here who aren't quite prepared yet to tell their stories, at least to our cameras. They speak to us when we're not recording, but their faces absolutely tell the story. Dark crescents under their eyes of a sleepless night, preparing for more sleepless nights, and no telling on when so many people here are going to leave.
In the aftermath of the crash, churches showed up to just begin to offer prayer and counseling and food and drinks and snacks, whatever they could do to meet people right there in their deepest, darkest moment of life. And that's what it means. That's the church in action. That's the church stepping out to say, all right, this is where Jesus would be. This is what Jesus would be doing. And so that's what we're going to give our lives to, being a part of the mission of God wherever that opportunity arises. What's incredible, though, is that it gets to happen in the context of community, right? In the context of a local church community. And so what the desire of God is that he established the church so that they could be a part of and be his ambassadors around the world. When he left us, his church, with a mission to be about and to be a part of. And so at Hope Valley, that's what we want to do. That's who we want to be. We want to see the opportunities that God puts in front of us, and we want to go wholeheartedly after those things. And so we talk about, every year this time, we talk about what our church membership is. When we talk about church membership at Hope Valley, we refer to it as partnership, meaning you're not, a church is not something that you're just an organization that you're joining. It's a group of believers that are on a mission, right? And so that's what it means to partner together. And so every year, this time in January, we come together and we say, okay, this is who we are. This is where we feel God is headed, where God is taking us. Are you in? Are you on mission? Are you desired to? And so we do what we call covenant church membership renewal. So every January, there's an opportunity for us as a church family to say, yes, I'm in. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's be on mission for Jesus, wherever that, whatever that looks like. But we're going to do it, and we're going to do it together. And so that's what we do this time every single January. And so, like, for those of you who are already members here, you're going to get that email probably today. You may have even already gotten the text message that just says, hey, 2025, this is where God's taking us. Are you in? Are you signing? Are you a member in 2025? Are you a partner with us on the mission that God has given to us? It's a perfect opportunity for those of you who maybe you say, yeah, I've been here for a little while, but I haven't yet quite jumped in there. I'm not, but this is an opportunity for you. Say, hey, yeah, I do. I'm in. I want to be a part of this church family, to be a part of the mission of God and be used by God as a church family together. We have a membership class or lunch that we have called Explore Hope Valley, where you can ask questions. We'll have one coming up here pretty soon, where you can ask questions about to the leadership team. And we share our core values and our core beliefs, and again, mission, all those things that that are important to what it means to be a part of a church, questions that you should be asking, that you should know about your church. And so we have that as an opportunity for anybody who wants to be a part of it. But this time every year, we have the opportunity as a church to say, are you in? Are you joining us? Are you on mission? Are you partnering with us for the sake of the gospel, wherever that might be? At the same time, along with that, each year, there's also a blank, and you'll see this come through your email as well. Those of you who are covenant members here, you'll see a thing that says, was there any areas of struggle this year that you wrestled with? Anything that you need? Because our desire as pastors is to walk with you in whatever that looks like for you. So if you say, I really struggle with this in this area of my life, and I really could use some prayer, some help, some encouragement. And so that helps us as shepherds to come alongside you and say, okay, we would love to walk with you privately, confidentially, on whatever that is that you're walking through, that you're struggling with. And so we just invite you to be honest and say, hey, you know what? I really struggled in my walk with Jesus this year for this reason. Or I was really challenged by this sin or temptation or whatever that might be. Or I was really burdened by this loss in my, like, we want to be able to share those things with you so that we can help encourage you, so that we can spur you along and help see God's work in you and God's work through you throughout this church. That's our heart. And so as we talk about membership, partnership, 2025, we also talk about what that vision looks like for this year. Like, so what is it then that God is leading us to? And at the same time, we want to celebrate what God's already done. So I was talking to Brother Frank this week, and I was actually on the phone with him, looking back through some of my journals and my notes for this past year, some things that we were praying about, like, to see happen this year. So, like, just as a few examples, we were praying about, you know, wanting to send the Johnsons off as missionaries, or at the beginning of last year. You know, Lord, what's that going to look like? How can we do this? And what happened? We rallied together as a church, not just to send, but to fund and send missionaries. And now they've been on the field for 8 months serving the Lord in Indonesia. Like, that's incredible celebration of a church family sending people out, our very first missionaries. And we're excited about that. We talked about the need to start new hope communities, right? We have all these groups, but we need more of them. We need new groups to get started. And then I think we had three, maybe even four new groups get started this year with families coming together, Bible study, encouragement. Like, that's a win. That's a celebration that we get to thank the Lord for what he has done. We've been talking about the new church plant in Shawlsville, Elliston. And this past year, we were able to see a new group get started, outreach events get started down there as we were building and putting those pieces together. The Lord's working. Like, and there's some of you who have already been a part of it, and maybe the Lord this year is calling you to jump in and be a part of that. But those are incredible, exciting things. We talked about the need to go to services. That wasn't easy. But together, we've worked through that as a church. What is it? Going to two services, making space for more people in our community. And it's been incredible to see people sacrificing and giving and serving. And there's still needs, though. So as we look to this next year, there's needs for us to serve. There's opportunities for us to answer the call, whatever it is that God is leading you in your life. We need new hope communities this year. We need new groups to get started. And there's excitement around maybe God's leading you into that answer that call. Leadership roles here at Hope Valley, and again, continuing to build that planting team for Shawlsville, Ellison. There's lots of opportunities. One thing that we're excited about doing is jumping more heavily into community events in Christiansburg and in local areas, finding events that are already happening so that we can join in and help. And so we're already kind of praying about other opportunities. Like, Lord, there's some exciting things that we'll be able to share in the days ahead as the Lord opens those doors. But we're excited about wherever it is that God opens those doors, we want to go. And we want to do it together as a church family. We also have global mission opportunities. And we've talked about these before. I want to throw them up there again. Just so you, as you're praying, God, what is it that you're calling me to give my life to? There's opportunities. Like right now, we have a team in Cuba. So again, continue to be praying for them. We have a team in going to Guatemala in April. We're building a team for Uganda in June. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of that team. We're going back to Brazil, July and August. We're praying about hopefully trying to work with the Johnsons in Burma, Indonesia. So there's opportunities. So I'll just invite you, like, there you are. If you're saying, okay, Lord, I want to serve you somewhere, there's opportunities right here that you can join Hope Valley teams with and be a part of what God's doing around the world. But it doesn't have to be there. It can be right here, right where you are, where God has placed you. But the important thing is that God has gathered us together in community, and we get to do it together. And so don't live your life just bouncing from place to place when you could plug in somewhere, and you can invest, and you can be involved, and you can connect. And if it's not here, then God's got another place for you that you can connect and plug in. But we pray that it is. We love the families that God has brought here, the new guests and visitors that God has been bringing here recently. And we're so excited about everything that God is doing and where he's ultimately leading us. I'll close with this thought. You know, when you're a kid and you get in the car with your parents to go wherever, like, as a kid, you don't usually worry about where they're going, right? You're just there. Like, they tell you where you're going, and then all of a sudden, you're there. Like, I didn't ever, as a kid, wonder, you know, looking out the window, I wonder if we're going the right direction. I wonder if, like, I just knew. I'm going to get in the car with mom and dad, and we're going to get to where we're supposed to be most of the time. Like, that's how it's supposed to be most of the time. A couple days ago, I was driving Hannah to her horse lessons, and a phone call came in, and it was an issue with the Cuba team that I was needing to put together some things. Well, if you know me very well, you guys know I don't multitask very well, and I get easily distracted, and, well, I did. And so I was turning and going somewhere. I don't know where I was going. Like, I was just going somewhere else, and so Hannah, thankfully, was paying attention, and she was like, Daddy, like, where are you going? And I had to, like, stop for a minute, like, on the phone call. I was like, hang on. I was like, I don't know. Like, I had no rational explanation for where I was going. I don't know where I'm going, sweetheart. I'm just going. And so I had to, like, stop what I was doing. Like, hang on a minute. Let me get back on track where I'm supposed to go so that we can get to where we're going. I started thinking about that, though. Aren't you so thankful that God doesn't get distracted? He never gets lost. He never gets, you know, misguided. He never takes a wrong turn. He doesn't ever have to say, oh, hang on, let me back up. I wasn't supposed to do that. No, God never does. That's why I'm so thankful that I'm not the head over this church. God's the head of this church. And so we look to him and we say, like, you are our leader. You're our ultimate shepherd. So we're following the leadership of God. And as we do, and as we firmly fix our eyes on him, he's going to lead us. And so as we ask the question this year, okay, so where are we headed? What are we doing? Well, we're following the leadership of our shepherd. And we're going to follow after him. As he opens doors for us, we're going to walk in them. As we firmly fix our eyes on the Lord, we're going to make decisions, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to meet needs, and we're going to enter places, difficult things. We're going to do whatever it is that God leads us into, because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to look like him. We want to love and serve and go and help and care for just like Jesus did. That's what it means, and that's the desire of us at Hope Valley Church. It's the mission of Christ, and we want that to be our mission as well. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for the privilege to be your children. I thank you for the privilege to be your people. I thank you for the privilege to be a church family, Lord, that loves and cares for one another. That I can trust to when I'm turned to, when I'm hurt, when I'm confused, or when we need encouragement, or when we walk through the difficulties of life. I'm so thankful that you have given us the gift of the church. And Lord, we're not perfect, and we make mistakes, and we get distracted, and we lose our way. But oh God, would we be so firmly fixed on you that as we do, that you would pick us up by your grace, that you would lead us in the right way. So Lord, as we look to 2025, we look to you. God, we are excited. We're excited about opportunities that you're going to bring our way. We're excited about what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish, and that we get to just be a tiny piece of that. So Lord, would you lead our hearts? Would you lead us? Would it start with us? And Lord, go into our families, and then our church family, and then our community, and ultimately the world. That your message would shine bright through us. And Lord, I want to pray for every heart here right now. I don't know what needs there are even in the room in this moment, but you do. I don't know what changes need to make in every single person and every single household, but you do. So God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, bring conviction of things that need to change, things that need to be surrendered to you, and that you would lead us, that you would give us victory over sin, that you would give us confidence in our conversations with people in the lost. That you would lift out in boldness. Lord, that we would just be your people that answer the call. Whatever that might be. We want to be your people. Would you work in us in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Well, we have a time of response, invitation. And this is a time for you. I would just encourage you, even as we start this new year, spend some time in prayer. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there something in me that needs to change? Is there something, an area in my life that I haven't surrendered to you? Maybe you're here and you don't even know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. You say, I've got questions. I've got doubts. I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to talk to. I'm going to be right here. I would just invite you to come. Or maybe you want to start the new year out just on your knees before the Lord, and you want to come and you just want to pray right here and just say, Lord, this year, 2025, I surrender it to you starting now. Maybe it's, I haven't been leading my family the way that God wants me to, and so that starts today. I haven't been the light and the example that God has called me to be, so that starts today. Whatever that might be, I just encourage you, don't just take off today. Like, let's press in. Let's listen to the voice of God. And let's respond. Would you stand as we sing together?